Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Hey, my goodness. Here we are. Big shout out to Christian Television Network audience around the nation and around the world, our radio audience, and the Gulf Coast.
Yes.
Every day, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. We're so honored to be there with our sponsors and our partners in your living room every single weekday. And so make sure you catch us there. If you don't catch us on the radio, we're going to be in your living room talking to you, hopefully giving you a light perspective. Romans 1:16, he tells us, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of this message I'm telling you about. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God. It's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. So if you're looking for power, you got to get off whatever that is and get back into the understanding that, listen, Christ wants family. He wants sons and daughters. He wants to bring them to his father, and he's looking for a bride that his father's preparing for him. Listen, it's loyalty. It's allegiance. It's not about religion. It's about abiding with him and hanging out with him and him speaking to you and you speaking to him and talking about your life and going out and then telling others about him and God backing that up and following that with signs and wonders where you pray for them and they might not, they've heard the message. They said they had a need. They have not yet received God, but yet the power of God was present and God met that need. And that's when you say, listen, that the kingdom of God is near you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You just experience God. Why don't you make him the Lord of your life? He loves you and he has a plan for your life. So when you think about it, you think about 2 Corinthians 12:9. We're talking about the power of God and evidence. He says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And see, this is the thing is that we're either going to be weak and powerless, weak and powerful, mm-hmm. or strong in our own strength and powerless.
Yeah.
We're either going to be humble and powerful or prideful and powerless. Mm. That's what it boils down to, right?
Yeah.
If you want the perfect power of God manifesting in your life and ministry, then you're going to have to humble yourself. You're gonna have to, and the humility is defined as the Ungers, I believe, is defines it as total dependency on God and respect for other people. So you're just totally dependent on. That's why nobody has to tell you to pray. You're talking to them all the time. Nobody tells you
exactly.
You have to read. You're looking for directions. You know, nobody tells you. You know, you're in love with them, so you're talking about the one that you love all the time.
Yeah,
and you're
stay low, so you don't have to get low, right?
Yes, keep your head low and the Lord high.
That's right.
In 2 Corinthians 4:7, it says, we have this treasure, what? God's power. We have this treasure, what? God's glory, his kingdom, is Christ in you. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that it's his all-surpassing power, that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. So it's, listen, if you keep on trying to patch up your clay vessel and trying to make yourself good enough to be used by God, the gooder you make yourself, the least likely you're going to be used, because the only good is God in us. It's Christ in us. But that is good. He is good. But that he's the only one that's good. Jesus said, who are you calling good, right?
Right.
That's right.
And we're talking about the power of God. So understanding, he said, well, if I want to see the fullness of the gospel in my life and the power that Jesus walked in, then and I want to see more of it in my life and others' lives and all across. I want to see, it's the hope for America. The hope for this third great awakening to happen is going to be the power of God.
Right.
It's the power of God being poured out in the church, waking up, realizing, hey, I got to repent because I got idols in the temple because I am the temple of God. So I got to repent for the sins in my life so I can actually begin to do what God's called me to do. And so we understand that the reason why God uses these things that are not us to be able to preach his gospel and to do it, it's to show that it's him and it's not us. So the power is going to move through a broken, weak vessel. That's how it's going to move. God can use you. If you don't think you can be used, you're probably the first one in line that can be used. It's those ones like, I can be used. Like, oh my goodness.
Skip.
2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God did not give you, this is Paul talking to power of God moves in Paul's ministry, right?
Right.
To Timothy, his spiritual son, he says, God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power. But power. I mean, think about it. It's power. 1 Corinthians 4:20 says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk. Oh, my goodness.
Mm.
Oh, my goodness. How long? What's the title of Missy Edwards' book?
What's the point?
What's the point? I got that book coming to me just for the title alone. I just love it. You know, she needs that because that is so how I feel. It's like, what's the point of this?
All right.
What's the point of it? You know, at some point, are we going to play football? We've been practicing for a long time here. You know, at some point, are we going to have something other than just some pep rally? It's some. What are we going to do what we're saying we're going to do?
Yeah.
You know, what's the point? It makes really good sense, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, but other people's like, well, we never ask ourselves that. We just do this stuff. It's like, oh, mm-hmm. wow. I either need that anointing or I got to set free from this. It's like, is like, come on. You're reading. It says go, you know, go and do. And so he says, listen, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is not a matter of a matter of talk, but of power. So the kingdom of God that we preach that is near is about power, but it's not just power. It is about the king and his kingdom and the power that comes with that to give you evidence to understand that the words that I'm speaking to you now, and I'm telling you, there's probably some that are listening right now that is just penetrating your heart. That's the power of God penetrating your heart. They understand this is a word of God. This is who the church is. We're not some religious folks who have some religious acts that show up at a religious building, that, you know, a holy building. We're not holy people that are showing up at a holy building for a holy moment so a holy man can say a holy word so everybody can have a holy hush. To be able to go out and live their life in utter darkness.
Right.
That's not what it's about. It's about all of us.
Wow.
All of us being empowered to do what God's called us to do. That is the hope. And I'm going to be talking more about the power of God and understanding that if we're going to walk in this, how to embrace the very key elements. And we're going to share with you some dreams of what it, and God spoke to us very specifically, this outpouring, what it's going to be like, because it's the power of God separates mere talkers from walkers. We heard about in the first and now talking in the extra hour about the power of God and how Jesus wants us not only to do what he did, but he wants us to do greater things than he did. He expects us as an expectation.
Mm-hmm.
We've been given permission. We've been given a commission. We've been told to go, go, go. We've turned into like a come-y church, and we're supposed to go-y into all the world. Yes, it is. You know, God is sending us out amongst of wolves. And he even says, beware of men because they'll harm you and they'll even arrest you and do different things too, he said. He said, but be as wise as serpents, but as gentle as doves. And the reason why that can be done is if you're abiding with God when you're doing it. You're hearing him every step of the way. You're spending time with him. And you're remember, Jesus would be found early morning hours spending time with the Father, getting his direction and his orders for the day about what was going to happen. And there was a couple trying to find him, and he would always seek the Father early in the morning. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to abide with the Lord, abide with him, and he will. You can go out. When you have, very specifically, Christ, you have the revelation and the faith and understanding that he is in you, because you can, Christ can be in you and you don't know this.
Mm-hmm.
And, then, in the context of that, beginning to operate into the power of God, and I just read it, it's the message that threw me off. I should not have read that. Oh, my goodness. So we're supposed to move in the power of God. We're supposed to move, preach the gospel. And as we go out, if you're abiding with God, that's why we tell you to abide. Listen, a time has come. Right now, it's like, okay, I think I'll just stick my toe in the warm water and see if I can abide with God.
Yeah.
But if not, I'll run back to this resort. We got a word we're going to play for you. From Steve Hill, he got a prophetic word about what's happening right now. And they say, well, I've always got the resort. I can go back to this place that I don't have to do anything. I can just hear. And I want to make sure that's available for tomorrow's program probably. But, so right now it feels like that. But in a few moments, I don't know if it's minutes, hours, days, weeks, or a month, it's going to be so rough that all you're going to be able to do is abide.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to get to. I mean, when the hurricanes hit, for example, in the Gulf Coast area, you had what you had. You had what you had. And the people had to be activated. The people had to be activated in themselves and their own value system to be able to help their neighbors. It was pretty cool. It's what the church should be doing, right?
Yeah.
It's totally cool. And so the power of God. And so, but we remember that, that Paul said, when God was talking to Paul about, when Paul was talking to God about his flesh, he's talking to the Lord about his flesh, and he's like, come on, you know, can this thing get, you know, heal this thing, fix this thing. And then,
take it away, please.
Yeah. And then God says, no, this is of me. I've sent, he's like, I've sent this buffer thing, this buffeting your flesh. Then he says, and it weakened Paul. It caused him to be weak, which made him usable. And he says, my grace, this is what God says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Now, weakness is not a sin. It's not sinning. It's the weakness of, it could be the reality that if God doesn't hold you, you would fall right into that sin. I mean, that could be a thorn that, you know, T.D. Jakes said once, he said, everybody's talking about Satan this, Satan that. He's like, God, help me from me.
Yeah, right.
That God could have, you know, hold, you know that if God doesn't hold you up, you would just fall right into sin in the context of that. That could be it. But it also could be something, you know, with Paul, it appeared to be something with his eyes or flesh or something like that. And it caused him to be weak. But God says, listen, my power is made perfect in your weakness. Mm-hmm. So weakness is pretty important. And then he says, I put my all-surpassing power in jars of clay, which is us, to show everybody that it's me and it's not you. So this tapping into this weakness is very, our weakness is very important to release God's power in our life. First Corinthians chapter 2, Paul talks about this. And I love this. And people get really frustrated with you when you approach them like this. Like, I am not going to tell you something that causes you to lock into me instead of God. And people are like, just throw me a raft or something that I can hang on you for a while. You are not going to hang. I don't want your faith to be in me. I want your faith to be in God. And so many people are okay with that. So many people are like, oh, yeah, just float around on me for a while. You know, it's like, that doesn't save you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Only Jesus saves you. We shouldn't give anybody anything that gives them a false sense of floating in righteousness. You know what I'm saying? They got to either know God or not. But this is what Paul said. He says, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. In other words, he preached accurately the gospel of the kingdom. He said, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. So he's just focused on that message of the gospel. And he's like, I don't want to know nothing. I don't want to know nothing. Then he says this, I came to you in weakness and fear and with trembling. I mean, not only was he in touch with his own weakness, not only did he say, of the sinners, I'm the chiefest, not only did he talk about, listen, that there's a war waging inside of me against the members of my body. He talked about all this, but at the same time, he was in touch with his own weaknesses. He was probably one of the most boldest men for the gospel when he would preach the gospel outside of Jesus Christ. I mean, he was bold for God. Yeah. I remember one half of the New Testament was written out by this man, and he's still writing when his feet are probably dripping from sewage while he's in jail when he's writing it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Can you imagine? Wow. Oh, my goodness. And he said, listen, I come to you in weakness and in fear. You know what? He had the confidence already because God already told him, listen, my power is made perfect in your weakness. So he had no problem telling everybody, I'm weak. I'm weak. If God doesn't hold me up, I'll crumble. I'm coming to you and everything inside of me, and my flesh says, you know, I'm trembling over this whole thing, but I'm going to deliver you the bold message.
Wow.
With this weak vessel, this jar of clay.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
It's not another Lego set or doll. No, what your child wants most from you this holiday season is your time and attention. This is John Fuller with Focus on the Family Minute, and financial expert Mary Hunt reminds us, it's not about the stuff.
I promise you, when your children reach their adult years, when they remember Christmas, they will not remember the gifts. They will not. They're going to remember whether mom was stressed out or that she was fun to be around. They're going to remember the time that you went and took the sled up the hill and sled together. If you're looking to make Christmas something your kids will remember, think past the gifts. Gifts are involved, but they are such a small, small part of it.
This season, be intentional about your time and money. Make some great memories with your children that they'll treasure forever. You'll find more ideas for your journey as a mom or a dad at focusonthefamily.com/parenting.
We are so excited about being able to encourage you, to be able to encourage you here on your journey. Think about it. Keeping the conversation light. That's what he commanded us. And that's one of the original words the Lord spoke over us is that, and he speaks over all of us, but in regards to why are we doing what we're doing, he says, because he said, go be the light of the world. Mm-hmm. You have to understand that in this dark world that it's dark. And so if we're light, if you're talking about the word of God and the ways of God, I mean, it may be rough at first because there's a lot of darkness. Right. But you're actually bringing light into that area. Mm-hmm. It makes me think of, you know, Rick Joyner and the vision mm-hmm. about that sword. And when you're waving the truth around the air, it just changes the atmosphere. Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you want to change your atmosphere, I want to encourage you, begin to listen. It's 24/7, 24/7 to VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and find out all the ways that you can get us. You can watch us on Christian Television Network around the nation and around the world. But listen, you need in your workplace and your home, just let it play and just let the light come in there. But why have all that prognostication and darkness constantly coming your way?
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
And he says, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words. Oh, Lord, I mean, these beautiful orators that are just like, they talk and you go, whoa, oh my goodness. It all rhymed, it floated, it built, you know, in loader, front loader, back loaders, all these different people say these different things. And it's like, come on. Mm-hmm. But that's dangerous. You can really get hurt. You can really hurt people if you're a good speaker. You got to be real careful. You got to talk about, you know, your weaknesses and your different things, because they're thinking like, oh my goodness, and they're caught up in your words and not God. And he says, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. You see, you don't have to be all, you know, fancy with your words and be able to have your, you know, all of this. I'm not going to talk about too much of that, but you just got to open your mouth because Christ in you is the hope of glory. And he said, I did this so that your faith might not rest in men's wisdom, but on God's power. Mm. Think about it. And he says, Jesus said very, very specifically that your traditions, by your traditions, the traditions of men, you make my word of non-effect. We got to make a mind up. Do we want what Jesus walked out and demonstrated for us, and to believe not only can we do that, that God sent us and gave us permission, that he gave us a commission, and that we're to be his disciples and to abide with him and follow him and to advance his kingdom? Or do we want religion? Do we want religion? What do we want? I don't want that. I want Jesus. Mm-hmm. I want what we read and what we see and what we've seen. And I want more of the Lord. More power. Mm. More souls. I mean, I like what Pat Robinson said during an interview. He's been interviewed by Paul, actually interviewing each other, Paul Crouch. He said that there's a lot of room in heaven and I want to fill it. Hmm. There's a lot of room in heaven and I want to fill it. What an honor, huh?
Wow.
What an honor.
Yeah.
But think about it. If we want what Jesus, we got to do what Jesus did, right? Mm-hmm. We want to get what he got, we got to do what he did. And he was loyal and is loyal to the Father. Listen, it's not about religion, it's a relationship. The reason why he spent time with the Father, because he loves the Father. The reason why he laid down his life for us, because he loves us. So it's based on love, loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same. That's what this is all about. And if you don't love people, you got to first get saved. You got to find out what's wrong. God, you know, and you can't love others until you find out how much God loves you. And once you understand God's love for you, then you can actually accept that and receive it and love him back and love others. It's an overflow of the revelation of God's love for you that allows you to love others. And in that power of love, you come out of the mountains of your situation and you'll see people in the cities that you're in, and you will be just like Jesus. You'll be moved with compassion because you'll see people harassed and helpless and demonically oppressed and sick in their body. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit will tell you and unction you at that one moment and say, that person right there, right now, pray for that person. Mm. And you'll just follow because you're not, you know, you're being led by God. You're not just saying, hey, I got a great idea. You're just constantly following God. The reason why Jesus didn't pray for the guy at the gate beautiful who was there every day, because Father God didn't say, go pray for him. And understand that the Holy Spirit will guide you. The voice of the Lord leads us. And when you're abiding with him, we're walking in the power of God. Listen, the gospel of God, the kingdom of God, is not a matter of just mere talk. And I got a question. What's the name of her book again?
What's the point?
What's the point? But come on. If that's all we're going to do is talk, and then we're going to talk better, and then talk rhythmically, and then we're going to talk with music, and then we're going to get together in small groups and talk, and then we're getting together in big groups and talk, then we're going to put on PowerPoints and talk about the PowerPoints, and then we're going to talk, and we're going to talk, and then we're going to talk. I mean, the reason why we're losing 80% of the church young people are leaving is they're going, listen, it's got to be more than talk. Mm. It's got to be more than talk. The young people are going to flood to Jesus. Maybe not to what we think they're going to flood to, mm-hmm. but they're going to flood into the kingdom of God when we begin to walk in the power of God. We begin to preach the gospel. We go out instead of say, come ye. The reason why we say come, people are spending millions of dollars to get people to come into a place. It's like, hey, give it to people and get that money to people and tell them to go out and preach the gospel. You preach that the kingdom of God is in them, that the hope of glory is Christ in them, and that they go out to a place that they're being sent ahead of Jesus to be accepted by a place they're welcome in, to be able to lay hands on the sick, they recover and cast out demons and all that different stuff, and tell them the kingdom of God is near. And then all of a sudden the kingdom begins to expand when that person says, I want Jesus. Mm. You see, the only way the kingdom expands, it doesn't expand by, getting a business to join in, or it doesn't expand by you buying more property for your organization. It doesn't expand when you get on television or you get on radio or whatever it's for Jesus. It expands when one person who didn't know Jesus accepts him as his Lord and Savior. At that point, the kingdom has spread, because the kingdom was in you. It wasn't in them. And the second they said yes to God, the kingdom moved in to them. Therefore, the kingdom just expanded. The only way the kingdom can expand is by telling people about him, winning from the hordes of hell, those held captive by the enemy, and letting them know that God loves them. God's got a plan for their life. Begin to let them know that he died on a cross for their sins. He lived a sinless life. He walked on the face of this earth so he could empathize with what we're going through in every way that everything you can imagine that man has gone through. Jesus went through it yet without sin, but now because he died on the cross and paid the price for our sins, that we can enter in to the kingdom of God through the blood and the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in that, we can walk as he walked on this earth in the power of God. Listen, what's going to bring about the third great awakening is the church coming to the revelation knowledge of that it's Christ in you, not the building. The reason why you go into that building, whatever building you're in, we're meeting all kinds of places, the church, the people, the believers, that's the church. The reason why God manifests his presence there is because you're there. Because the kingdom is in you. And when two of you kingdom containers are together, then Christ is in your midst. It's not the building. It's not the stadium. It's not the house. It's not the coffee shop. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Listen, as we're rappers, we can't determine what we are based on what we're wrapped with. It's what's inside of us that tells who we are. I just want to encourage you today. It's just all my heart to share with you about the power of God and understanding that we want a ministry just like Jesus had. That's how we want to walk. Ministry means service. We want to serve God the way that Jesus served God in Jesus' name. And we're going to share with you, and maybe have some time right now to share with you about some what you're going to run into. Notice that when the power of God began to manifest outside just his words, that's when all heck broke loose. Remember when he began when the man with a particular shriveled up hand gets healed in the midst of the building, right?
They didn't like that.
Everything was cold until the power of God, because the power of God separated from the talkers from the walkers, meaning those that walk with God and those just talk about God. And the moment the manifestation of the power of God happens, it separates the talkers from the walkers. That's why it's just like, it totally says to everybody that's a talker that I've been talking about something that I don't believe. I don't have any evidence of that. Mm-hmm. And, God showed me this I was speaking at a large gathering of people, and in this gathering, all of a sudden it was there's this lady. She had this hump on her back. She had this hump, and it was just like some big, not a gourd, it was almost like just some big thing sticking out. You know, you could feel it, and under her clothes, it was just sticking out of her back. And my just this compassion was all over me. And gotta look, we're looking at a lot of people in this room. Sitting like we normally sit, we all sit in chairs facing one way, right? And they're all facing that, you know, towards the front. And so I'm just moved with compassion over this lady. And then this lady comes up, and I want her to be healed, you know? I'm like, just all over me. So I come up and I put my hand on her back, the bump. And I was fixing to push the bump into her back because just that's what the dream is. And that's kind of like how it works. And God just does his miracles and things that he does. But as soon as I placed my hand on her to start pushing that back, that room cleared out. All these religious folks ran. They ran, except for a core group of people who understood this is that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I look at them. I said, "Are you ready? Are you ready for this?" Jesus was hated. Right. He was called Satan, and all he did was good. All he did was forgive. All he did was forgive and make a way to the Father. He showed forth his mercy and his grace. But you know what? When the power of God separated the talkers from the walkers, it started just stirring up all kinds of stuff. I got more dreams to talk about in just a moment. But I was sharing just a while ago, when the power of God manifests, you deliver the message. Even Jesus said, if you don't believe what I'm telling you, at least believe the evidence that backs that up. And so that the evidence proved, the miracles are the evidence that proved that what he said was true.
Right.
And you know, we're seeing some pretty awesome things take place. And but as I was just sharing that dream, that's how it works, where I was supposed to put my hand on this woman's back and heal her. And then all of a sudden the religious folks run. They literally run. It happened another time where you know, God is showing me the situation where the power of God hits, and this man was in his wheelchair and he had no legs from the knee down. No legs from the knee down.
Mm-hmm.
When the power got hit, this man who needs healing hit, he got on his nubs. It's a dream. And he runs. He just is terrified of the power of God, because a lot of people want a pay raise. You know, they want the extra serving. They want a nice house. They want these different things. But the question is, only God knows what's in their heart.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people just like to be religious. It's amazing that it just kind of just does something for them. But what's the point, right. of that?
Yeah. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
That's right. We have another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's called the Torch Newsletter. Every week, the Torch Newsletter goes out, and in the newsletter, you're going to get the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. You're also going to get all the VFN Radio highlights emailed directly into your inbox. So whether you want to listen on your phone, whether you get your emails on your tablet, or whether you get it on your home PC, you will have access to that week's VFN Radio highlights. Go to VFNTV.com. and select newsletter sign up, or text VFNTV at 22828. Again, text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch Newsletter now.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
And so there's been times where, you know, I had a particular lady that comes to me, and she had been abused by her her live-in boyfriend. He beat her up. He left her, took her all of her stuff, and her son comes to me and asks me to, you know, tells me the whole situation, whatever's going on. And so here she is, just totally just distraught, abused. And there's people out right now that's probably happened to you, and everything's gone, and she's just don't know what to do. And she's just curled up like an infant, on the floor crying, and her son is seeing this. And so this comes to my knowledge, and I'm talking to her, ministering to her, and I said, well, what do you need? And she says, well, I need a job. I need a car, because he took the car. Mm-hmm. And I need my bills, because the bills now are not being paid, because she had left her work for school. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, let's just ask God for that. Let's just ask God for that. And so we prayed for just a simple prayer. And this is what God did. God gave her a car, a sports car, mind you, a car, gave her one of the best jobs in the community with the hours that she needed to be there when her son got off the bus, and paid her bills up. And he did all of this on her birthday.
Yeah. Wow.
On her birthday. I mean, this is what God, this is the God that you serve. This is who he is. We have another situation where we have a church that's gathered, and the power of God, the gospel is going forth and is being preached. And a man who was brought into this gathering by somebody who probably shouldn't have brought them in but did, had fallen asleep, but he was not a Christian and had fallen asleep. And the power of God was so present in the preaching of that message when I said, come out of him. He went straight from a dead sleep. He woke right up, and the demon left the man. I mean, he wasn't even involved in the process. He wasn't involved in the process because Satan had to leave him. Like, okay, this is going to hold deliverance. Everybody go to sleep, relax. Their minds just shut down. And is this not?
That's the story.
It's exactly all this. This is the power of God. And that, this is the power. This is how you know. And there's just so many things you can't really tell. Another time we have somebody that's going to come in and try to harm the church. And they just had bad intentions towards somebody, and they wanted to harm them. And the church was just worshiping God, just loving God or whatever. And God's power hit this person to the point where they couldn't even hardly breathe, and they began to choke. And it was just took them to their knees. And for 4 hours, this person runs from the church, from the church, mind you. And has to stay away from it until it's totally finished, and nobody did anything. It was just the power of God present. Jesus said, I will work with you, confirming the word. It's not us doing it, it's him doing it. And the Holy Spirit is the one who does this. And over and over again, you know, we're seeing the power of God. And I believe this third great awakening is just that another situation where I had this the church was about to gather, and I went and laid down just for like a quick little nap, but I didn't go to sleep. I just kind of had a vision suddenly. And this vision, this person had two damaged legs, whether they're broken or whatever. And I'm grabbing one leg real nicely, and I'm kind of pulling it out, and it just kind of goes right back into place just real easily. And then I take the other leg, and it's damaged and bent up too and broken. And I go I'm going to do the same thing I did to the other leg. This is a vision. But all of a sudden, something takes the back part of my triceps of my arms, back part of my arms, and just shoves my arms forward and like snaps that leg right back in place. And it's just powerful. Wow. I mean, this is exciting things. This is what the church is supposed to be like. And John, I want you to share how the Lord's begin to share with what's this third great awakening, the youth, and how God's going to begin to use with the glory of God.
Yeah, it's so awesome. You know, I remember having this dream. Lord spoke to me in a dream, and in this dream, I was in an auditorium that looked like at that time it was an auditorium. I found out it was something much larger as the dream progressed. But a well-known minister that I've been familiar with entered, a platform, and he began just preaching a little bit and just sharing, and then he prayed for some folks, and then he sat down. He sat down, actually to the left side of me, and it happens. I actually had this kind of same similar dream almost twice with, you know, a few weeks. And then another well-known minister steps onto, and I say, like, just, you know, well-known, I'm talking about internationally known and stuff like that. He is on the platform and he begins to pray, and there's no visible manifestation. There's no visible manifestation.
No evidence.
Of the glory of God. There's no evidence. Nothing's happening. And the minister who previously was up there praying, who has a ministry that has signs and wonders and evidence and miracles and that type of stuff.
This is a dream we're talking about, so everybody knows.
Right.
It's prophetic. Okay.
he stands up and says, "Where's the glory? Where's the glory? Where's the glory?" He's really shouting, just reaching out. And then the next scene in the dream, there's this young 15-year-old girl look like standing in the front of this just large gathering of folks. And she shares a little bit and she preaches a little bit. And then she begins to open some time up for prayer and starts praying for people. And before, you know, I'm watching this whole thing and I'm seeing just a couple of people just kind of fall under the power of God. And I'm thinking in the dream, you know, how dreams are, you're like, okay, I've seen this before. And then she gets to this one person and she kind of just goes to pray for that person and waves her hand towards the person. And then I see like dominoes, a sea of people just fall. And this is where almost like a camera panning to the back, a row of people just, I mean, like dominoes just fall under the power and the glory of God. I mean, I'm talking about en masse. And then as like I'm watching in the camera pans out, and this place is huge. This is like a stadium. This is huge. There's people everywhere. And then I'm kind of like sitting or in the area of two people that are sharing about what's going on, because this is being televised. And they begin to say, "Yeah, this is how it's going to be. This is how it's going to be. They're going to share for a little bit, and then they're going to release the glory. It's going to happen everywhere. Like this is going to happen everywhere." And the Lord was just showing me this is going to spread, that the church is going to rise up and move and preach in the power and the glory of God with miracles, signs, wonders, healings, and it's just going to spread. It's not about the fancy dancing. No, this was just a simple young girl who was trained up, who preached the gospel of God and just began to pray, and God showed up.
Young people, God's going to begin to just use this young generation who are hungry for evidence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's the point? And that's what Misty point? Edwards, who's working with young people all the time, you know, what's the point? And that's it's very important to think about that why, ask yourself this question, why am I doing what I'm doing? Why am I doing what I'm doing? And is what I'm doing what Jesus told me to do? Is that what it says? And if only 19% are reading their Bible, according to George Barna, do I need to, am I part of that? And 81% that's not, do I need to start reading my word? Do I need to start abiding with God? Understand this, that prepare yourself for what's about to happen. It's going to be two things going on to the best of our knowledge, how we understand it. It's going to be the best of times for the kingdom of God, and it's going to be the worst of times.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Things happening, stuff and things as we know it. But in that storm, in that tragedy, in that, that's what causes people to look up. You know, the woman who was caught in adultery didn't need Jesus till she was caught. And she was thrown about to be stoned, thrown at his feet. She had a need. It came because tragedy hit. I mean, you think about how many people that were sick. Mm-hmm. They needed Jesus to heal them because they were sick. They turned to Jesus because of the pain.
Mm.
You think about the tragedy and things that happened in the 70s, as I was saying earlier the first hour, as Charles Simpson was talking about the 70s and God began to pour out, advance his kingdom in a powerful way, was that it was just bad economic times. It was the Carter administration. It was the end of the Vietnam War. It was all these revolutions that were taking place in America. They're putting on Time magazine, you know, is God dead? And, you know, this is, and all these things were happening, but it was the midst of that caused the church to go into their homes, by the way, unquote, and begin to pray. They began to pray and ask God and seek God. It was the pain. It was the darkness. It was that, and when they prayed, God began to pour himself out powerfully. And understand, so dark times come, but understand great that you are the light of the world, that your light's going to be brighter. And you want to prepare for what's going to happen, because the power of God is going to be, people are going to be coming to God. And they're going to be looking for evidence, and they want to hear not the intellectual explanation of the Creator and his Son. They want to know, do you know him?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know him? What's he like? And you can only do that if you know him and you abide with him. You hang out with him. If you don't abide with God, I encourage you. We got a simple plan for you. Go to iabide.org and begin to abide with him today so you can be ready tomorrow for what's about to come on the face of the earth. We're believing for a third great awakening. If the church wakes up and realizes
that Christ in us is the hope of glory. Christ in them is the hope of glory. Listen, it's going to explode. The kingdom of God is going to advance because they carry their kingdom containers. It's them. They are the ones that Jesus died for and who Paul says that I have given myself and my life to serve them, the church, the body of Christ.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Here we are. Yes, VFNTV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFNTV and the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
But guys, I wanted to share, you know, I was thinking about this, that we only have one life. We talked about this in the beginning of the first hour, but we only have one life.
Yeah.
God doesn't give us five or six or seven. You know, we don't come back, you know, into a cow or anything like that. We only have one life on earth, just one.
Mm-hmm.
And I love what David, King David, wrote in the Psalm 39:4. And you can hear his heart cry in this psalm. He says, show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. You made my days a handbreadth. The span of my years is nothing before you. Everyone is a breath, even those who seem secure. Show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. I mean, it's sobering to consider one's life. It's a sobering thing,
yeah.
You know, to think and to pause and to think about, okay, my life here. And many, I believe, are living aimlessly. They're tossed, you know, back and forth by every, you know, wind, everything that's going on, without any true sense of purpose or direction. I mean, just look at it. Content. Mm-hmm. Content to watch reality TV instead of living a true reality, instead of living a life filled with purposeful aim reality.
Right.
And they're just living for the moment. Just living for the moment. Even there's a phrase that's been out here for a little while that people have been saying. It's called YOLO. And it stands for you only live once. YOLO. Meaning do whatever you want to do and give no concern about the consequences. Just go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Just go for it. You only live once. The problem with that is that, yeah, you're right. You only live once, but the consequences of wrong living
mm-hmm.
will affect you for eternity. Yeah, you're right. You only live once. So it's not do anything and throw off any kind of concerns or restraint and just live recklessly because you only live once. But it's just the complete opposite, because you only live once.
That's right.
Because your feet only touch this soil once. What you do with your life will not only have tremendous significance for yourself, for your family, but for all eternity. I'm talking about eternity here. So many times we look back at history and we look at people's lives and you look back and you see someone that's blessed and you look back and then they start talking about, well, you know, my grandfather and my great grandfather and they did this and you saw that somebody's life counted. They made their life count. How many immigrants have come across to this country with nothing, with zero, nothing. Mm-hmm. And because they got to work, they believed in the dream, they had a vision, they just worked hard, they started to do something, they started to create something, and now you see businesses in your own community that say 50 years in running, since 1906, since 1855, since whatever, this thing has been going on, and it's because somebody recognized that they only lived once. And we got to recognize it as believers that we're only passing through, that we're not serving just our generation, but we're serving the generation that is to come, right?
That's right.
But a person that truly gets this, they understand this. They really understand, too, that there are eternal consequences to how we live. I mean, our decision, the greatest decisions that we'll ever make concerning our, you know, in our life, our greatest decision is, what are we going to do with this amazing man, Jesus? What are we going to do with him? Is he going to be the Lord of our life? And what we do with that one decision will affect all eternity, and how we live our life mm-hmm. will affect all eternity. Proverbs says that a wise man, a wise woman gives thought to their ways. And I just think about this, guys. How many times do people sit back and evaluate what they're doing? They evaluate their life. They evaluate their impact. They evaluate why they're working at their job, why they're living in a certain place. Why do they keep certain friends and acquaintances and run in certain circles? Why? Why? Like Missy Edwards says, what's the point?
Yeah, right.
Why? And it's been my experience. It's been my experience that many people are not in tune with reality when it comes to life. Just not in tune with it. I mean, most feel that they're going to live a very, very long life.
Yeah.
And are shocked when someone's life is cut short. I mean, just shocked. But where I want to know, I mean, just let me know, is every single person promised a long life? I didn't get that memo. I mean, forward it to me.
Nope.
But think about it. Who's we don't know. We don't know what life holds. Or they live with the idea that I'm not going to get sick. Mm. I don't believe sickness is of God. I don't, you know, claim. I don't want to receive any of them. And I believe in divine health. I believe in divine healing.
Right.
But people in this world do get sick, and they're shocked. And what's more shocking is that they weren't prepared for it. Like now they begin to live. You know what I mean? Like, they give no thought of all the things that could happen that could dramatically alter their life. And why does it take having a disease, a life-ending disease? Why does it take a cancer? Why does it take something that's going to shut your life down for someone to grasp and say, oh my goodness, I only have one life, and now I'm going to live it. I'm going to do a bucket list. I'm going to do this. Wait a minute. What? Why did something tragic have to wake us up? And at that particular point, if it happens later in your life and you've been just cruising through, you realize of all the wasted years, all the wasted time, all the frivolous things that were done with no eternal significant value for Jesus. And God has put us on this earth. If you're a Christian today, if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, God has called you to bear fruit, and much fruit that will last. He's going to inspect it. We got to have fruit for him.
Right.
And the question is, what are we going to have when we see him? We're going to see him face to face. I don't want to, you know, he's going to reward us. I always say, I want a good crown. I don't want a Burger King crown. I want a real crown.
Not the real deal.
I want the real deal because I want to lay something at his feet. I don't want the tan, you know. Can you imagine some people can get a tan crown, a bronze crown, gold? And I believe this, you know, this is going to be a Burger King crown for somebody. You know, it's like, and when you get your crown, when you get your reward, you're going to hold it and you're going to, the only thing you can do is just cast it at his feet and say, I'm not even worthy of this. I'm not even worthy of this. And I don't want to pull a Burger King crown off my head and say, here you go, Lord. I want to have something to give him because I believe I'm going to see him face to face. And if that's your hope if you know him as your Lord and Savior. But I want to challenge us to number our days, to recognize that we have this one life, and what you do with this one life matters. You can make a change today. Don't be sick. Don't wait for something to happen. Don't wait for something to happen, but allow yourself to be awakened even now. Even now.
It's not a coincidence that you're sitting here listening to me. You've got one life to live. You've got one opportunity to let your light shine in darkness. One opportunity to explore what the power of God can do through a yielded vessel. This is it. Something within you can say, God, I want my life to count. God, I do not want to waste my life. People who do not know the Lord ask us, why in the world we waste our lives as missionaries? So they fail to recognize that they too are expending their lives. And when the bubble has burst, they'll have nothing of eternal significance to show for the years, the lives that they have wasted. Methodist preacher W.E. Sangster said, how shall I feel at the judgment? If multitudes of missed opportunities pass before me in full review, and all my excuses prove to be disguises of my cowardice and pride. Come on. What's stop? Is it fear of man, fear of failure, just a history of spiritual apathy? Is it the inability to get out of a rut? What's stopping you? If your life is right with him, look in the mirror and say, God is with me. God is in me. I want my life to count. You say, what do? Go after him. Seek his face. Cry out. Shut off the TV. Turn off the computer. Put away the unnecessary distractions. Cancel some of the unnecessary appointments. Go after God. Seek his face. Pour through his word. Read things. Listen to things that stimulate you, charge you, and then walk in the light you have.
That was so powerful. That was so powerful. That was Dr. Brown, charging us. And I'm charging you today. I mean, what would happen if you woke up? What would happen if you were really, really awake? What would happen if you gave Jesus your whole life and held nothing back? Think about the possibilities. Think about it. What would happen if you let go of your fears and went after Jesus with everything you had, with every bit of viper? What would happen if you truly sold your life for Jesus and for the gospel? Mm-hmm. I mean, John 12:24 says, "Verily, truly, I say to you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." I mean, the sowing of your life can turn an entire people. Don't let nothing get in your way of giving Jesus everything. Refuse to watch others go after God and be used by God. Make your life count. Live with eternity stamped on your mind. That's what Leonard Ravenhill said. Live with eternity stamped on your mind. And I love what Jim Elliot said. He said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. Give it all for Jesus, the one life that you have. Because we're talking about one life. Just one. Just one life we've been given. And we talked about how life is just a mere vapor. And we're here today, and literally, I mean, we're gone tomorrow. We have often spoken about how life just seems to be just flying by. And how you have to force time to comply with your destiny. But you've got to wake up. You've got to wake up and understand that, you know, we've got to live reality. We can't watch reality. We have to live reality, and that's not even real. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been given a life, and I love what David wrote. I mean, it's just so beautiful. It's just so inspired by God. But he says, "You made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you, and each man's life is but a breath. Man is a mere phantom as he goes to and fro. He bustles about, but only in vain. He heaps up wealth, not knowing who will get it. But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you." And I want to tell you that we can gain all these things, you know, material things on this world, and we can do the things that people are living for and going here and going there, but you got to ask yourself, what of all of this has significant eternal value? What matters in the end? And the question is, you know, is what you're living for worth Jesus Christ dying for?
Right.
What are we living for? What are we living for? And it's nothing. There's nothing more beautiful than to know that you have given your life for the cause of Christ, that you've given your life to leave an impact for someone, that you've touched someone, and that you've touched God. There's a place where you can walk with God. I mean, I think about Enoch and how the Word of God tells us that Enoch walked with God and was no more. Mm. I mean, Enoch did not die. Mm. God just took him up. God just took Enoch up. And there's a place, there's a place, and you look throughout the Old Testament, you hear, and he walked with God, and Abraham walked with God, and Enoch walked with God, and Elijah walked with God. You can walk with God today. You can walk with God, and you can allow him to touch you in such a way that he will use you for greater and amazing things. He specializes in taking the nobodies. I mean, just look at us. And he'll touch you so that you can touch others. He'll touch you so that you can touch others for him. And your life right now is God's gift to you. But what you do with your life is your gift to him. What type of gift will you have for him? I pray that it's a good one. And so we have one life. Let's give that whole life to him.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
We found another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio.
It's the Torch newsletter. Every week, the Torch goes out into your email, whether it's on your phone, tablet, or home PC. The Torch newsletter is going to give you the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. It's also going to give you all the latest highlights. Of course, you can sign up by going to VFNTV.com and selecting newsletter sign up, or you can text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.